Greetings in Jesus Christ's precious name. My name is Brett Ford. I want you to take a few minutes and hear a bit of my testimony concerning the evil doctrine of eternal security, or once saved, always saved. As a young child brought up in the church, I'd given my life to Jesus Christ at an altar call one evening at a revival service. From then, continuing in church and Bible reading often, and of course, the prayers and supplications to God, and for quite a season being willing to endure what light forms of persecution would come my way, being a young man, being a Christian in an ungodly world. But throughout the rest of my teenage years, I began little by little partaking of more and more sin. Not gross sin, as some may suppose, but nevertheless sin, and at times gross sin. But yet at the same time, coming under conviction of it and repenting of it for a season. But as I continued in willful sin, I believe my heart became hardened at it, hardened at the deceitfulness of it, and no longer was there that grief in my heart when I partook of known willful sin. Actually, as long as I was still a nice person and went to church and was reading my Bible, doing some praying, I was quite at peace, thinking that I was heaven bound. Still coming in and out of seasons of having some desire to serve God, I married my wife Tina, and we started our honeymoon out with a week at church camp, having high hopes of starting off right, and even someday being a good Christian, I thought, just like my one grandfather. Although I had some desire left to serve God, I became more and more active in sin. I started to work 7 days a week, working long hours, did not have much time to think about my eternal destiny, thinking of my soul. Although I was totally sure that at that time I would die, I would be in heaven. After 4 years of this, I began to be quite a hypocrite, only not realizing that in my mind. I mean, I went to church now most every Sunday that I wasn't working. I often went to Bible study. I attended the revival services and things, always going away with a revived attitude to serve God, which really only lasted for a few weeks because I was doing it in my own power. I had no grace of God operating in my life. But in the summer of 1997, out of God's extreme mercy, I began to realize that there was a major problem with my Christian life. I remember going to work, praying the Lord's Prayer, wanting to change, but still, I apparently did not want it very much because the evils of sin were still very present in my life. And at this time, which I believe was about to be definitely my last calling to repentance, I still believe that at that time, I still thought I would go to heaven if death would come. But on October 24th of 1997, while rushing to my pickup to go hunting, I found myself with a very fast and painful heartbeat. Now, this was not the first time, but probably, I believe, maybe the fourth time I experienced this condition in recent months. Although this time, a great fear hit me, because I went for hours with a heartbeat of around 200 beats a minute. It was so bad, I was actually moving the chair I was sitting in. You could visibly see my body shaking because the beats were so hard. But I then drove myself to the emergency room, and after a quick examination, was placed in a hospital bed while the emergency room went into a mad rush. You know, it looked like a scene on some television show or movie, where people were rushing around trying to do all they could. And I remember at that time, the doctors started putting what I think was lidocaine in my veins to slow my heart down. And it was at that time when reality had finally set in. A long offended God had enough of my disobedience, and I was about to die. And it was at that time that I knew that I was going to hell. I had realized that America's free, easy gospel had switched the roads and had made the way to heaven the broad and wide road. Although time has allowed me to see more clearly what was really going on at that time, much of what I am going to share briefly was very evident at that time. I thought that I was going to be rushed in for open heart surgery or something and was going to die. And I instantly knew that I had committed numerous crimes against the Holy God and was not fit to stand in His presence and was not fit to enter into heaven. I knew for sure that I was headed for hell and that I needed to have a true heart repentance and to be saved from the wrath that was to come. I cried out to Jesus like never before, repenting of my sins and asking Him to save me. And I pleaded with God to forgive me of such gross sin. And I begged God that I would surely serve Him the rest of my life, doing what I believe He wanted me to do. My friend, eternal security was a lie from hell. My past repentance of sin and faith toward God had grown useless. I was a branch that had been cut off, a tree whose fruit had withered, and now was facing death with no cloak for my sin. Well, out of God's mercy, I had turned from the error of my way, and like the prodigal son who was dead, was now alive again. And by God's mercy, I'm now 29 years old and am recovered from that terrible condition, both spiritually and physically by God's grace. Let me just share a few more minutes with you what happened the next few months of my life as far as the evil doctrine of eternal security was concerned. You know, as being born again, and I began to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And in my personal Bible study, I began to realize that what the Bible says and what is being proclaimed as Christianity today across the airwaves was two different things. Me and my wife became exceedingly alarmed as we thought how we could have believed that I was going to heaven when in reality I was going to hell, a place of torment, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I began to see the warnings of how man could fall away from the faith, that Paul could be a castaway, that Jesus said that we must endure to the end, and that there were lists given of the characteristics of those who would not go to heaven. I at one time was committing those same sins, willfully and knowingly, thinking that I was heaven bound. And it broke my heart and my wife's heart as we then saw what seemed to be the majority of Christianity that we knew were also partaking of those known willful sins, those same sins that Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, who also at this day believe also that they are heaven bound, although they are partaking of much sin. So I believe that this doctrine, which I call apostasy's advocate, or once saved, always saved, I believe there's nothing more that advocates apostasy like this doctrine. It clouds the heart and blinds the eyes of Christians to the New Testament scriptures that deal with the conditions given to be a partaker of final salvation. You know, being deceived by false teachers, as long as they were once saved, they could never fall away. That no sin they could ever commit could separate them from God. All the preachers I've been under were not making these gross claims of sin, but neither did they warn those who were partaking of evil that they could possibly fall away. Their message was silent, but eternally deadly. Silently declaring peace and safety, when in reality they were headed for sudden destruction, which may come upon them in an hour which they think not. Of course, I am to blame for my own sin. But is it any wonder a young man would fall into sin and think he is heaven-bound when he's been preached eternal security, when he has preached these things, when most of the church people, including close family, were also Sunday morning saints and were also partaking of sin as a daily normal part of the Christian life? All not gross sin like you may suppose, but nevertheless, those things that separate us from God. And would not the souls of all my friends also be doomed from this doctrine? Yes, they were, and many still have not recovered themselves from this heresy. I can count my friends on a few fingers that are still serving God this day. The rest are off doing their own thing, lost in sin and the cares of this life, but also surely deceived that heaven awaits them at death. You know, I see clearly now that I had always appeased my soul by telling it that one day, a time in the future, I would then be that good Christian that I wanted to be. But little did I know that a long offended God had spewed me out of his mouth. Little did I know that I had received the grace of God in vain and had not made improvement on the grace that was given me. Many were alarmed as I began to tell them that until I had repented on the hospital bed, that I was lost and was going to hell. They tried to reassure me that I was okay at that time, but none could move me from the Word of God. They said I was a good person, because really, I was no worse than them. But in reality, if I was going to hell, it shed light on their hearts that surely they would be going to hell too. And they could not think that they could go to hell because they were eternally secure with a lie from hell. Although now contrary to what many once saved, always saved teachers preach to those having itching ears, I speak this day filled with joy, filled with peace, knowing that as long as I stay on the narrow road, working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, by faith that works by love, that I will spend eternity with Him. And I stand this day justified by that faith. But I also take heed lest I fall, knowing that if God spared not the natural branches, I must take heed lest He spare me not also, who only stands by faith, that I must as a good soldier continue in His goodness, continue to fight the good fight of faith. So in closing, dear friend, please flee from this apostasy's advocate of once saved, always saved, and that perhaps God will give thee eyes that see and ears that hear. Because very, very few will seek for victory over sin while believing this lie. But be freed from it, and God will give thee victory like you've never experienced over the world, the flesh, and the devil, knowing that God has given to all who will take hold of it by faith exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, God bless you for listening to this short testimony, and I am your servant, In Jesus Christ, the Bedford. God bless.